Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, a Brooklyn Nets show, independently owned and operated since when did we first pod? What was the KG trade?
2012, 2013.
We are going to talk about Cam Thomas and the Brooklyn Nets. I have one big question to ask Brian.
Whoa.
One really, it relates to Cam Thomas.
And I'm excited to do so. Hope I have the right answer. Coming up next on The Glue Guys. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys. NetsDaily.com. Not The Athletic. Hey, Brian.
Hey. Whoa. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Can I start this off? No moral victories, Brian.
No moral victories. We lost. We took some L's.
I don't like this. Hey. Oh, the Celtics are so good. The Bucks are so good. We should be happy we're in these games. No moral victories.
Wow. Already in the season, we're ratcheting up the expectation meter.
Jacques Vaughn's on the hot seat. Trade everyone. Fire Sean Marks.
Okay.
Basketball's fun, though. I will say that.
We're having fun out there.
Isn't this way more fun than what the crap that we dealt with for Mike, don't the KD even, career? I know people don't want to hear about
names.
It.
You're living in the past, man.
No, I'm not living. I'm using the past as a reflection forward to today.
That's called living in the past.
I'm Dorian Graying myself. Is that how that book happened?
That's exactly how it happened.
he was talking about basketball. Dorian Gray was a huge hoops head in his attic. He had many a pop a shot.
Yes.
And
yes.
That mirror.
And it's not the mirror. It's a painting. It's a painting.
Oh, it's a painting. That's the whole name of it. I must have seen like the updated.
Yeah. You get the reboot. Mike, we're gaming. We're in the games. But we don't like being in the games or something. Sorry. We hate being in the games. We want the wins. We want to stack W's.
Yeah. I want big fat W's. I want to win. I want to win basketball games. I don't, you know, like your background right now is Cam Thomas.
Hucking a three.
Right by former great Brooklyn Net Jay Crowder.
Yeah. And Patty Connaughton.
Is that Ethan Hawke there in the corner of your photo?
Oh, yeah. I think it is. Wow.
Did you see the hilarious...
That crew. Yeah, the Adam Driver crew. Yeah.
So if no one's... I mean, I would hope everyone has seen it last night. Tommy Alter, who is the co-host of Old Man and the Three... is mm-hmm. there. Tommy is like the international man of mystery. He somehow is connected to every single person. Hasan Minhaj, known liar, but he's...
I missed this controversy. I don't know.
You don't know that? There's a big New Yorker article about how he allegedly lied in his stand-up, and then he did this
First of all, who's watching Hasan Minhaj's stand-up? No, but no disrespect.
Hasan, I know actually, you're listening. To be honest, a lot of people.
He pops off. Okay, all right. I'm sleeping. It's my fault.
I was about to say Jesse David Washington because I was thinking of Brooklyn Nets fan and author Jesse David Fox, who is the Vulture comedy critic or comedy editor, who also is the host of a Good One podcast and who will be on the show because he has a new book called Comedy Book. But what is Denzel Washington's son's name? Son. John David Washington.
Yeah, it
was, John David, not Jesse David Washington. And then he was in Black Klansman with Adam Driver. Adam Driver was there in Jordans, black Jordans, all black. Then next to Eric Andre, and they were holding hands. And then there was someone else next to Eric Andre.
Quite a crew. Quite a crew.
I love it. That's the Nets energy that we just like an eclectic, Rat Pack. Weird. I'm mad. I'm angry. I want a W. I want big fat W's. I want this team to declare itself for who they are, who I think they are. I think that this team will be competitive all year. I talked to you, Brian Egan, on the phone. Okay, I called you up.
Yeah,
I dialed your number. People don't know this. I don't save numbers on my phone. I dial everyone's number from memory.
Okay,
that's the lesson I do to myself. I'm fighting Alzheimer's one battle.
Yeah, I was
going to
say keep the Alzheimer's at bay. That's good.
And I said to you, this team is not a team that gets blown out. It won't be a team that gets like the 30-point loss. They'll be.
I have no memory of this conversation. Speaking about Alzheimer's, I don't remember you saying that at all.
Maybe I dreamt it.
It's possible.
They are competitive. I want them to get one of these big fat wins. They play the Clippers tomorrow, and then they play the Celtics again.
The lowly Clippers off a humiliating loss in MSG.
What did you see in that Bucks game? I mean, you were streaming. You're the dirty stream. People are in there. People are.
We're having on fun. The ride, with guys. You. We are having fun this season on Twitch.tv/TheBrianEgan. Get there via Discord.gg/GlueGuys. Just plugging away, Mike. That's what we do. But we're having a hoot. I don't know how did we run out of steam again? In back to back games. Not in back to back games. The Celtics game on the second half of a back to back. Being in there until 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter felt like a little bit of a glad to be here kind of situation, more so than the Bucks game. Bucks are kind of a weird team this season. Dare I say the fit with Damian Lillard has been a little hinky, can I say? They're going to figure it out. It's a classic Celtics thing, though, to land the true gem of the whole fallout of that in Drew Holiday. Because obviously that's working out, and the Damian Lillard thing is a little weird.
God, the Celtics lineup is just Drew Holiday is so much better than Marcus Smart. I was a Marcus Smart fan, but Drew Holiday is the apex version of what Marcus Smart could be, right? Yeah. And Kristaps is just kind of like we could use Kristaps Porzingis a little bit, right? He would be a guy for us
as your third/fourth option, with two other really good options at least. It's pretty sick. It looks pretty cool.
But this goes back to the moral victory part. I'm gonna ask you: should the Nets feel good that they were close but lost?
I feel like that was true of the Celtics game more so. I'm bringing them out. I'm not just gonna throw all the L's into one big L bucket, Mike. Let's invoke a little nuance here. Let's summon it even. Some of the nuance. Yes, because the Bucks game was
that's the name of the worst metal band. Summon the nuance.
Yeah.
Or maybe the best.
Band.
Yeah, yeah. It's really like a really to the details, into the musicality of metal.
Yeah, that's some music theory, guys. But yeah, the Bucks game felt a little bit more winnable just because it's early in the season. They still haven't kind of locked in that identity. Giannis up to his old tricks again. I get so ass mad watching Giannis. On stream, it's even better because people know how to trigger me with that in the chat. So he is infuriating to watch and continues to be.
Thanasis, then the shots of Thanasis. Thanasis is my least favorite person in the NBA. More like though my least favorite number.
He puts the Nepo ass.
Baby Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Here's my joke. You had to say that. My joke was going to be, he puts the ass in Thanasis. Has anyone ever said that before?
That sounds like a good thing, though. Isn't that a positive?
Okay, Mike.
He's got that Kyle Lowry on him.
Okay. I mean, like, he's ass at basketball, but take it there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I mean, the Bucks are so annoying. But though this game was... It was the least annoying Bucks game for the Nets recently. I think because Jrue Holiday wasn't there, Damian Lillard was not very good. The role players around Giannis and I guess Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton did not scare me beyond, obviously, beyond Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard didn't play well. Pat Connaughton still, or Connaughton, I don't know why I say Connaughton. I think it's Connaughton.
You say Patty Connaughton. That's what you said.
Patty Connaughton.
Yeah.
He still made like one great like rebound and put back that like was a big difference in the game at the end of the game. It's
indeed, we were one Dorian Finney-Smith breakaway, take the godforsaken shot away from being right in this game. I mean, it was truly close. And do you think that the Nets need a closer this season? There's so much of that.
I have a question for you, Brian. Do they? Yeah. No. Yeah. Actually, Cam Thomas is probably should be their closer. It's just
Of course. It's just he's still you know, he's got a lot of growing to do in that position. It's a lot of responsibility for a guy who's only just now been given truly the green light. And we were talking about this last night, like, why does it feel that Cam Thomas's green light is different this season? And it's because I think, and I'd have to look at this, I don't have the stats to back this up, and please, somebody who actually knows how to do this kind of thing, join the Discord and then pass along these stats. But I think that it's not much to ask. I think that Cam Thomas is getting into his offense faster. I think that's really truly the only difference. Like, it used to be like even in last night in the Celtics game, there are a couple of vestiges from seasons past where he kind of pounds the air out of the ball and it takes him like 14 seconds to get into his offense. And the optics of that, of a guy who's just has no intention of doing any playmaking plus holding onto the ball with any level of inactivity, just feels like the audience, just the optics of that feel so bad. Whereas this season, he's getting into that action almost instantly, but for the few possessions where he's still kind of evolving out of that part of his game. But I feel like literally that's the only thing that's different. Like, everything else is like he's kind of falling out of bed into 2 to 3 assists per game just because like he's playing enough basketball, enough minutes, and has the basketball in his hands. But it's not fundamentally different. It's just faster. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you those specific stats. I mean, like, I haven't done the deep dive into, obviously his usage rate, he's at 30.5%. That's not what you're asking for, but he's shooting, so that's a healthy chunk. Lonnie Walker's number two, and Mikal Bridges, which all tracks if you've been watching it. I do have a Lonnie Walker question for you. I think it's very, what you said about the fact that he's getting into it faster, because ultimately, any time in the past when he was on the KD, Kyrie, blah, blah, blah teams, which I won't bring up, no one wants to hear me talk about it, blah, 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 I won't ever bring up their names again, he was always like an appetizer, right? A very interesting, maybe some bang, bang shrimp. Maybe the best part of the meal is the appetizer. But we weren't really giving it its time to do so, to be the best part of the meal. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. I think I know what you mean.
But now he's the main course.
Here's
he's
the thing, like, though. What I'm trying to say is that we're like wolfing down the appetite. Like, I want to like eat the appetizer incredibly fast, which I already do.
Yeah, that's the negative in my remark there. Yeah. I mean, he we have to give him all the credit in the world. Like, I have the big question I had for you that I teased in the open. Who is the Nets' best player? Like, honestly. Like, can we be honest for a minute? Who is their best player? Because I love Mikal Bridges. And, like, I'm sure, like, analytically and long-term, it's always going to be not Cam Thomas. Well, that's the thing I'm talking about. It's going to be Mikal Bridges, because Bridges is just, like, a monster defensively at times. He still is a 20-point-per-game scorer, still efficient, good vibes, all the things that he is. He can play with anyone, right? Like, the good thing about Bridges is that he will be able to play with anyone that the Nets bring into the roster, and Cam Thomas won't. But if I'm looking at like right now, right in this moment, I'm not talking long term. I mean, like, it's undeniably Cam Thomas, and this is coming from a guy who was anti Cam Thomas. Yes, Brian.
I'm gonna say I don't know that it's undeniably. I mean, I'm just gonna say, like, the amount of responsibility that Cam Thomas has wrested away from these other semi-veterans on this team. I mean, the difference between 21 points per game and 28 points per game with not a whole lot other difference statistically. I know there's a whole defensive element to the game that, which by the way, Cam isn't like, doesn't project to be a bad defender, I don't think, or like a notably bad. I probably should have done my homework and looked this up, but at least optically, it doesn't seem to be like a bad defensive presence.
I will say, I think that's latency. Like, I think he's going to get attacked a heck of a lot more coming up. But yes,
sure. But I think it's non-trivial that extra 7 points per game. I mean, 28 points per game. If that's where we're at for the season, and I don't have any reason to think that it's not going to be, is kind of. It's, I know it's crazy to say, but like, let's call it. I mean, let's call it 25 just to be safe. I don't know. Is that where do you actually think his points per game is going to end up this season for Cam Thomas? God,
that's like the hardest question.
Yeah,
because there is a reality where like. He goes on a 5-game streak where he shoots 20% from the field. And because he offers so little from rebounding assists and ultimately like defense, he's not going to be a positive defensively, at least as of now, that like you could just drop him from the rotation.
But bro, can I blow your mind? He averages one less rebound and one less assist than Mikal Bridges. Like, it's like Mikal Bridges is not Mr. Phillip the stat sheet, you know, in a unilateral way.
Well, he and that I will say that that's part of Mikhail's problem overall too, as like the superstardom level, is that he's still in this. I have a whole point about like people should not be disappointed in Mikal Bridges, and I had it even before this Bucks game. And this Bucks game, he like looked like a dude again, which was awesome to see. We just have to give ourselves the grace of God. Whoa. to
okay.
accept into our hearts what Cam Thomas is doing. And, like, you know, I struggle with this. Hey, I sometimes don't practice what I preach. But
a hypocrite.
Yeah, some people have called me that. Yeah. My wife certainly has many, many times. And deservedly so.
Interesting.
He is playing at an absurd level. Here are just the basic statistics. And I think it's important to read them just to remind people what is happening. 29 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2.4 assists. I would say 2, but 2.4 sounds better. 48% from the field. 33% from 3. How many of those are open shots? Probably 3. 84% from the free throw line. Effective field goal percentage, 54%. His PER. PER is a stat from The Athletic's own John Hollinger that is skewed towards rebounding bigs. 22.7. That's a very tidy, nice number. 15 is average PER. He's 22.7. By offering not much on rebounding and assists, though, as you say, 4 rebounds, nothing to scoff at. He's a dude. So you asked me what would be his points per game by the end of the season. Like, who is he? Who are we getting? Is he going to be a guy who's in the rotation for the whole year, leading the team in scoring, and is this one of the very big surprises in the NBA? Because if he's leading the Nets in scoring above Bridges and Cam Johnson, and there's like decent guys on the team, he's going to be one of them. I mean, he's going to be the NBA's most improved player. And I don't know how it would be debatable. Scotty Barnes is the only guy. I don't know if you've seen what Scotty Barnes has been doing. No. I don't know if you have him in fantasy. He's been a monster.
Yeah.
An absolute beast.
Okay. Look it up.
29 points per game.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Let me do this with you. Do you think we're one Cam Johnson and one Nick Claxton away from winning that Bucks game? Like, in terms of the composition of this team, is that puts us over the top, and like we're now what, competitive with that class of Eastern Conference teams? I mean, is that what we're trying to say here right now, Mike?
I guess I'm down on Cam Johnson just because I haven't seen it in a while. Like, he wasn't that good for Team USA. He played one game for us. He had like one good preseason game and then one bad one for sure. At least that was my memory. Claxton makes such a difference in this game, in the Celtics game. Cause like, we are so weak on the interior without Claxton. And Claxton on his switches, the weird thing to me is that I don't want to go too far deep in the Ben Simmons discussion right now, but the Ben has been helpful. His rebounding has helped this team significantly because without, obviously, Claxton, not that Claxton's like a beast rebounder, but like Ben will get rebounds over a lot of other players on this team. Claxton would have just have helped a bunch. And I'm open to Cam Johnson helping because like he's a good player. Like we just haven't seen it in a minute. But are we competitive with those teams?
I'm talking night in, night out. Is that what we're saying? Because it seems like that's what we're saying. Like we deserve to be like not just in the games with Celtics and Bucks down two starters, but like we want to stack W's on these teams. That's what we're saying. I don't know. I'm worried we're going to have a bad time if we go down this road is sort of my concern.
Where do you think the road ends?
The road ends at like being really frustrated at our sub-500 team. That's the road I'm worried about. Whereas I want to be happy about having a close to 500 team. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I think we can walk down the same road, but just look at it differently. Okay. Can we? Do you think we can? Like, can we both agree that if Cam Johnson and Nick Claxton are playing and are healthy, that this team could be competitive with pretty much anyone except for like Denver? But we will probably still lose those games in the end. Do you know what the Celtics point differential is right now? 14.5 positive. That's a hefty margin.
It's pretty hefty.
And we looked good against them. And this is not a moral victory, please.
This is a moral victory.
Yeah, I just almost veered into moral victory lane, and I'm veering back into reality.
Okay.
I will say this. The Nets are a team that will be competitive all year because there'll be no reason to tank. They have a lot of professional NBA players. People make fun of me because I grew up a Wizards fan. Watch the Wizards. That team is an embarrassment to the NBA.
Okay.
They have some guys who are okay, but the rest of that team is dog trash.
Mm-hmm. Dog water, trash. As the kids say. Have you ever heard that, dog water?
No, what is that?
It's sort of like just dog ass, dog trash, but they say you're dog water at like Fortnite, you know?
I love it. I'm into it. I'm hey, fellow kids. I'm hip.
We're saying dog trash, like that's a normal thing to say, and it's
yeah, I was gonna say dog poo.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, I know people listen to this in the car with their children.
Yeah.
Are you really afraid that people are getting their hopes up?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I don't want the season to devolve into like, oh man, if we only had a closer and then like have that be reason to do something stupid. Not that like anyone cares or like that would like message would matriculate upward to a decision maker who's like, all right, Nets Twitter, time to get you, I don't know, yeah. Whoever Mike Smeltz wants today.
DeMar DeRozan. DeMar
DeRozan or Zach LaVine.
Stop talking about DeMar DeRozan.
But
let me look at DeMar's stats real quick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Put your pants back on, Mike. Don't put your pants.
Oh my God.
46%. But yeah, I just think it's a matter of
he's basically Cam Thomas, by the way, but just, not as good.
It's just a matter of expectation setting, and I just want to make sure that we continue to have fun with this because I could tell I was feeling my competitive fires burning last night just because I hate the Bucks specifically, but I was like, I just feel like we could win this. I want this W, and it's starting to creep in. I'm just trying to make sure that we, you know, reality check each other, you know, as we go on throughout this season, because there might be times where we're you know, if we beat the Clippers tomorrow night, and then who do we play again? The Celtics?
Boston.
So look, there it is. We went 1-3 against like a bunch of potentially good teams. I mean,
we have to beat the Clippers.
We have to beat the Clippers first. And that's again part of my hypothetical. But it could be an 0-4, and then we have to really like do the reality check thing. Let me ask you this: pivoting away from that conversation, how have you felt about Ron Sharp this season? Are you enjoying your Ron Sharp minutes?
I'm intrigued, but he's just not my kind of center.
He's transformed. He's a transformed body. He's no longer he's just the source of, you know, you fixate on certain players. I'm not fixating on Ron this season. I'm going with Ron, by the way. That's my Ronnie? Evolved. Just Ron.
Ron?
Yeah.
Ron? All right. So you're feeling better about him By your lack of fixation, your lack of fetishization.
I've stopped fetishizing. Yeah, and that's when I just have to, like, we're just going through the ranks of the players right now. So this is kind of a loosey-goosey conversation, and I'm just throwing stuff out to you.
Well, we do need to do a draft. Did we do a preseason draft of the players?
I don't know. No.
I'm glad we didn't, because I would not have taken Cam Thomas, and he's unequivocally a one or two on this team right now. But
yeah.
Day-Day, happy birthday, belated happy birthday, Day-Day. My issue with it, like, so I...
Do you know all the players' birthday? What is this?
Every time it's someone's birthday, they tweet about it on Instagram.
All right.
Sarah Kustak talks about it.
Okay.
And I listen to Sarah.
Sure. Not a big birthday guy. I always find that, like, strange.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Anyways,
that everyone going. Anyways, sorry, not to be that. Sorry, God, I'll stop.
I recognize De'Ron Sharpe's improvement this year. He is shooting 69% from the field,
69.
Which for a guy who was a fumbling, bumbling,
couldn't big catch man, a ball. Yeah,
and his 30-30-30 diet that he went through, the process of the 30 grams of protein, 30 minutes after you wake up.
Like, are you selling this product? What is it?
Well, we don't have ads now, so I got to, like, do, like, in...
Free ads for
I got to try to pull in sponsor. I think the team itself, via Jock Vaughn, doesn't have the most faith in De'Ron. Because in this stretch of when Nick Claxton is out, if they love De'Ron, he'd be playing more. And he's ultimately filling in the minutes when Ben Simmons is out. Not that Ben Simmons is playing the five, because it's Dorian Finney-Smith, who's been very important to this team this year. Mm-hmm. And at the trade deadline, we'll fetch a very nice trade package for your Brooklyn Nets. Which is, like, trust me, the thing I'm most excited about whenever Royce O'Neal has a good game or Dorian Finney-Smith is, like, oh my God, the protected first-round picks coming our way, baby. The protected, if OG Anunoby is five first-round picks, Dorian Finney-Smith is at least one. I'm thrilled by that. I made a joke on, kind of a joke on Twitter that people absolutely dumped me for. Someone tweeted out that James Wiseman, the former, what was he, the number one or number two overall pick from the Golden State Warriors, who's in Detroit right now, his season so far, DMP, 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 6 minutes, DMP, DMP. And I was like, Brooklyn? You know, asking, should he come here? I would rather have a tall, lanky, athletically gifted center who may not exactly know what to do, but will at least protect the rim on a rare occasion, than De'Ron, who, again, I like De'Ron. He cannot protect the rim. He does not have rim protection ability. He's not tall enough, not athletic enough. Should I feel bad about that? Do you think he can change that? I don't know. It's not, I mean, what is he averaging? 0.6 blocks a game. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm. I have a thought.
Please do.
It's really a challenge disguised as a thought. A challenge to Nets Nation, to Nets Twitter, to Glue Nation even.
The entire Glue Nation? Wow.
Because, like, here's my thing. We've tried to be, I don't know, nuanced. You know, back to summoning the nuance.
Summon the nuance!
about Jacques Vaughn. I will say, though, if there is one avenue to criticize him, and I think we should be open to all these avenues, you know, open them up.
Open borders. Yep.
Open the borders. That our team defense, for whatever reason, our offense is like a top 10 offense. Again, early season kind of data points, maybe a little bit perilous, but offense does not seem to be the problem. Why is it that our team of elite wing defenders is having such a hard time actually having a cohesive defense this season? And I've looked at the stats before everyone says, well, Nick Claxton's injured. He only played one game. Our interior defense, mind you, seven games or however many we've played through the season, is right in the middle of the pack. Right in the middle of the pack. It's 15th overall interior defense. Opponents are not necessarily crushing us there. They're also middle of the pack for opponents' 3-point percentage. Not necessarily crushing us from the 3-point line either. Why is it that our defensive rating is in the bottom quintile, Mike? What is happening here?
Yeah, I mean, you expected so much more. And there are flashes of when I see Dorian Finney-Smith like guarding Jason Tatum. I'm like, that's a thing. It happened. It feels, it's not an embarrassment. Can I just say it really is? Nick Claxton means so much more. I know you didn't. He means so much more than just interior defense. He is the best switching big man in the NBA, statistically proven. And so when Nicky Clax switches on to anyone, they are absolutely buried. And you put him next to DFS and Bridges. Cam Johnson's not a bad defender, and he hasn't played this year.
And Ben Simmons. And then you. And then what happens to your offensive rating, Mike?
You know, that's rating tanks. And that's what I'm resisting the conversation about Ben Simmons. Because listen, his rebounding has been great. I don't just say that because I see the numbers are being like he is a good rebounder. He gets rebounds over dudes. Okay. What? I'm trying to find positives here.
Yeah, I know.
He has seven assists.
It's conspicuously trying to find positives. That's what it looks like.
But here's what I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. You've seen Unbreakable, right?
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Of course, movie. Sure, yeah.
This is not the question. This is the setup to the question. Okay. Cam Thomas is Bruce Willis and Ben is Sam Jackson. They are the polar opposites of each other. Right? Cam is an absolute killer Cam, pure confidence, and Ben Simmons just refuses to shoot the ball. I have a theory that Cam Thomas is maybe actually the worst thing that has happened to Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Because
interesting.
To start the season, Ben was being aggressive. He was attacking the hoop. He was trying to score. Now, he was inactive against Boston, and then he played 33 minutes, but only shot the ball three times against Milwaukee. So this is extreme recency bias. But the problem I see from Ben is that the reason why he doesn't shoot jumpers or threes or drive to the hoop is because he's doing this weird, I don't want to say weird, he's doing this unique mental math every time he has the ball, thinking that he has said this before, not this exact way he said it, but he says, I don't shoot threes because it's not the best thing for the team. He said that in Philly way back. I think the way he plays basketball is he thinks, what is the best thing for the team? Not the best thing for Benji Simmons.
And this is a bad thing. We're saying this promise.
This
up
is a bad thing because he is so on the side of, I'm going to just drive a little bit. If it's not there, I'm going to pass the ball. There's no of like Cam Thomas doesn't view scoring in that way. Cam Thomas is like, I'm going to get my shot. It doesn't matter that like, sure, I'm 18 feet from the hoop and there's 12 guys around me. I'm going to get my shot. And he scores. And he's uniquely gifted to do so. There are many scorers in the NBA who know, if I get to my spot, I get my shot. Ben Simmons is completely of like, I will probably miss, so I might as well pass. I think Cam Thomas, follow me here, I'm almost done.
I'm with you. I'm following 100%.
Because Cam Thomas is so electric of a scorer, when Ben Simmons plays with him, Ben Simmons is like, I should never shoot while I play with Cam Thomas because there is no point because Cam is always going to be a better option than me at shooting the ball.
Yeah,
I believe that this is Ben Simmons' thought process. Now, is that bad for the Nets? It's not because Cam Thomas is so ascendant. And Ben Simmons is like probably a lost cause regardless as a scorer.
Yeah, and this is what I'm going to say. If you're going to be deferential to Cam Thomas of all people, like no disrespect, like he's going to be deferential to like every NBA team has some version of a scorer. So like if it's like, I just can't play my game around other people who want to score the basket. It's you're priming yourself for a bit of a disaster.
I don't think it's I don't think it's that he can't play his game. It's not like he's like, I can't be me. It's that he literally is like, I think in his head thinking, I'm not the best option right now.
I'm not arguing that part of it. I'm just arguing that the tether, like that the unbreakable tether is Cam Thomas specifically, like he's something unique. Whereas I think Ben Simmons is going to bring that relationship to literally any team he goes to, almost truly, literally every team.
Well, like Unbreakable, Sam Jackson perpetrated a lot of disasters to try to find his so he ruined a lot of different situations. And brought a lot of lives down.
Did you watch this recently? I don't remember the plot of this as well as you do. It seems like it either stuck with you.
I literally read Wikipedia yesterday.
Okay. You did the Wikipedia reading thing for plots. Well, Have you seen any movies?
I saw Unbreakable when it was in the theaters, and I don't think I've seen it since.
Put down that street cred.
Wikipedia movie plots are way more entertaining than most movies. Like, the plot of Unbreakable is more entertaining than Unbreakable. I would rather read it.
Interesting. Rather, Cliff Notes.
I guess I'm a man of literature, unlike you. You need your screens, Brian.
I'm a baby-brained idiot, and I need moving pictures. I need sounds, loud sounds. The louder, the better.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Cam Thomas is good. Mikal Bridges is good. This team is good. It's not great, but it's good.
Okay.
I'm not going to bring up DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
I think because of Cam Thomas's ascendance.
You're going to tell me to trade for somebody, aren't you? This is what you're about to do?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they should trade for a dude. Oh, like a third option, like a legit guy, not
a guy or dude. Hold on. Are we talking guys or dudes?
I'm talking a dude, not a guy.
Yeah. All right.
A dude is above a guy.
We got plenty of guys. We don't have that many dudes.
We need a dude.
I don't want to trade for more dudes. I have PTSD from all the dudes that we had, and I want
those dudes. We're going to talk about different dudes. We're talking about better
dudes as a category. I'm over dudes. I want guys. I like guys.
You just like glue guys?
Hey, Mike. Nice. I like guys. Yeah, I want guys right now. And I don't if dudes want to come in free agency, fine. Come on over. That's great. And this is my policy from here on.
You just said if dudes want to come.
I know. Jeez.
You know what you said? It's like
I did it. I was trying to
dude. No, but it's no, wait. You're not getting it though.
Oh my lord.
It's like
that was the high wire act I was doing the whole time, Mike, and you only just now got it.
Do you understand?
This is depressing to me that my comedic partner is so slow on the uptake.
Because like the funny thing is, like talking about ejaculate is
good.
Funny.
It is inherently
usually like super most. Funny. And I'm not saying every circumstance, but most circumstance.
Yeah. Anyways, you get what I'm saying though.
I just realized that Google Calendar, at least for my corporate account, tells you how many meetings a week you have, and I have a startlingly low number, and I'm afraid that that's getting sent to my bosses. So I'm going to start adding meetings to my calendar. You know what I'm saying?
So do you need to do that now, Mike? Is that what you're trying to say? Is we should just stop? I mean, we've done near 40 minutes. Is that we should probably go? Let's wrap it up.
Well,
we got to the ejaculation joke, but what we need to the only thing that I wanted to fight to you about is let's just please press the pause button on the trade talk just briefly. My little boy heart can't handle it anymore, and I just want to love this team. You know, in an earnest way for the first time.
I won't talk about trades.
You're going to hurt me. You're going to hurt my body.
I won't, but...
Mike, why are you trying to hurt me? Oh, my God, Mike.
I love that face. Yeah. That whole vibe was perfect. Yeah. No, I won't talk about trades, but, like, think about what the Nets could get for Cam Thomas right now. I just want to put that...
Jeez. Oh,
what could they get for him?
Yeah. You're a menace. You are a menace to society. You know what you're doing.
If I was the Spurs, I would be calling Cam. I'd be get us Cam Thomas, Cam and Wemby together. 12, that's like 12 NBA. All right, championships.
Mike, we've descended. We got dumb by the end here. Let's get out of here. Let's save some face. Let's close this down. And there's going to be a game tomorrow night. Thursday. First thing Thursday, Mike.
I do want to read you one thing. Just one thing. Okay. Please. Have you heard about Nick Claxton's injury?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So it says, this is what Jacques Vaughn says. I'll wait and I'll sit back, and when Nick is ready mentally and physically capable and ready to perform, then he'll be back on the court. He's apparently day-to-day, Nick Claxton. What does that mean? Are we supposed to read into that as like Nick Claxton doesn't want to play basketball right now? Is that what's happening?
It seems like just Jacques Vaughn just hammering a bunch of platitudes about a guy who's injured. He's like, I don't know. He's injured. I'm just going to leave it to him. He's injured.
Okay. Yeah. Fair take. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter or X at BK Glue Guys. Got to be in the Discord. I mean, I'm telling you, Brian's best self is the stream. The stream is more than just watching the game. It's a community. There's interactive moments. Sometimes Brian plays horror video games, which I like watching.
Do you do? Oh, I didn't think you would. That's fun.
Except there's not much happening in that game. That game, you just kind of walk around.
It's not a great game. But yeah, hey, Mike, that's really sweet of you to say. We were having a good time. So yeah, hop on over twitch.tv/TheBrianEgan and discord.gg/glueguys. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, bye, everybody.